Tonight I'm going to speak about something that the Lord has been speaking to me about for the last week or so. And I just want to move this thing a bit closer because the cordless is tired on us. It's all really just a picture that the Lord showed me in the beginning of the week. He just reminded me of something that's happened about 4 or 5 years ago. We were still in Gardens Church, and I know some of you that were there with me, maybe Esty and some of those people that have been with us for longer. The one evening I was in worship, and I just saw a picture. It's almost similar to the one that's on the screen. I just saw a picture of like a bridge, and I saw it was just covering a span between like two pieces of land. And on that bridge, I just saw that there was only one lane. It's a one-way bridge. Cars was driving on the bridge, and it was just going one way, and those cars never came back across the bridge to the other side again. And that impression just stayed with me. And then what was funny, that same week, in church, Tien's had a sermon that he preached, and he came into the church. Tien's is our pastor at Shofar Gardens. He's the head pastor there. And he came in to deliver a sermon, and he had this box of Legos with him. And in the box was just lots of loose Legos. And his sermon was something about creativity, God's being creative for God or something. And then he came to the front, and he had this box, and he said, I want one of the people in church to build me something during the sermon out of this box of Legos. Who of you were there at that sermon? Yeah, it's quite funny. Then everybody, because I was an engineer at that time, everybody shouted my name. So that's quite a humbling experience. Now I had to build something during the service that resembles something. But thankfully God gave me that picture of a bridge. So I went to the back, and I was like, it's like this was all this like two or four, I don't know if you know Legos, 4x2s and 2x2s, all these small blocks. And like I was like struggling to build something. And then eventually I built a bridge. But it took me the whole hour of the sermon to build a bridge, and just before he finished, I was finished with the bridge. So it really stuck in my mind, the whole bridge thing. God just affirmed it like that. And the picture that I just had about the bridge, that bridge was like God wants to use us as his church, and I feel especially us as Shofar Church. He wants to use us to facilitate relationship and encounters with people to come to Christ. And I really felt what God was saying to me is many people going to meet with Christ through us, that they're not going to fall back into their old habits. God really wants to do authentic work through us in people's lives. And that's why I've got a picture up there. I'm terming this sermon Bridging the Divide by Facilitating the Encounter. And that picture speaks quite a few words to me. It speaks about just like a divide that's between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of Christ. It's a place where people are in the world and then they need to come to Christ. But God says in his word that he's given us the power to overcome the works of darkness. He's given us the stewardship of bringing people into the kingdom. And the picture I had there is so cool for me because it's three people together just standing in the gap for people to come and allowing God to use them to bring people to him. And the divide that we're struggling with, the problem we have in this world is sin. And what that problem has really caused, it's caused separation between man and God. It's caused separation between people and God and the relationship with God. And God primarily is a covenant God. So if we think of covenant, the easiest way for us to relate to covenant is through marriage. And if you think of a husband and a wife, if a husband and a wife are married, you would imagine they communicate a lot. And if a husband and a wife would not speak to each other often, then their marriage would be quite troublesome, don't you think? And you think that it will be a marriage that doesn't really work because they don't know each other. They don't communicate how they feel. They cannot really respond to each other because without communication, we cannot get to know one another better. So that's the same picture of us and God, because God is a covenant God. He's a God that wants to have a relationship with us. He doesn't just want to speak with us once. He doesn't just want to call us saved and then stop speaking to us. It's the same with us and God. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to speak with us consistently. He wants to, on a consistent basis, give us his heart, reveal his heart to us. So what has happened is through sin, there's a divide has developed between us and God. Through sin, there has been a separation where we cannot hear God anymore. We cannot hear his voice. We cannot communicate with him. And sin has really come in between. So what every person needs to come back to the relation of God, I need an encounter with the cross. I need an encounter with Jesus Christ. And God wants to use us as his children. And if you're here tonight and you've never had an encounter with God, he wants to encounter you tonight. And even in the worship service, I feel this is presence. God has just been speaking to you in the worship service. Just what is happening here. You may be asking, what is that? But it's really God just saying, I want a relationship with you. I want you to come back to me. I want you to come back to my heart. And I want to have a relationship with you for eternity. I don't want the world or the sin that separated you from me to stand in the way and keep on separating you from me. And this encounter that God has for all of us, it's different. God wants to meet us personally in a personal place. So what I'm going to start tonight is what qualifies us. It's going to go to the next slide. What qualifies us to be used by God to facilitate encounters between God and man? See, God is a relational God. And the word says he desires to have a relationship with all mankind. He desires for all of us to come to the saving knowledge of God. So what God wants to do is he wants us to come there. But primarily, he's given that authority to facilitate that relationship over to his church, the church of Jesus Christ. A lot of times we would ask ourselves, so I'm now a member of church and I'm saved. What must I do before God can use me? And that's what I want to start with. When are we qualified for God to use us? John 4 verse 34 to 38. And Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And what really strikes me about the scripture is really just an expectation. What is our expectation when we go into the world? What is our expectation to be used? What's our expectation that God would do something in our lives, in our circumstances, in our sphere of influence? Are we really believing that God can use us to sow and to reap? And then that line I just underlined, I send you to reap for that which you did not labor. In our secular mindset in this world, we often feel like we have to be qualified, we have to earn something. We have to do something special for God to use us. And what this is saying is, God is saying, why don't you extend your faith to be used by me? And what God is really saying is, from the day that you saved, from the day that you become born again, I want to use you in certain ways. I want to use you to gather in the harvest, for people to come to salvation, for people to hear about God. And I want you to sow seeds and to reap the harvest as well. So some of us, we sometimes discouraged because we're sowing seeds, but we never see the harvest. But if that's what God's called you to do, he's called you to sow seeds, and I'll get to what that means later on, then that's enough. That's what God has called us to. And we should be encouraged that God wants to use us. John 16 verse 8 speaks about the Holy Spirit that convicts man of sin, righteousness, and justice. See, with all the qualification in the world, with all the theological knowledge of God, with all those things, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, if God doesn't come and work through us, then we're working in vain. So that's what I want to encourage with all of us tonight. Even if you've been saved for a day, even if you encounter God tonight, God can start using you because the power of the Holy Spirit is available to all of us to impact the world around us. And Jesus says we will do greater work than he even did. And we are the salt and light of this world. So God is going to use you from the start, from the word go. Ephesians 4 verse 11 to 13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain of the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The scripture, a lot of times the context we see in it is just the structure of church and that it's an institutional side of it. But what this scripture is really saying to us is that the saints must do the work of ministry. And when I read ministry here, what is ministry? What does it mean for us to minister to others? Yeah, to serve. But what service does God want from us? He wants for us to serve people in such a way that they have an encounter with God. We want to serve people with the love of God, with the word of God, with all the facets of God that He's already put into our lives, just with His kindness, with His gentleness. So when we minister, it means God wants to display Himself through us. He wants to use us as vehicles for people to come to the knowledge of God. And what's challenging about the scripture is traditionally, a lot of us come from traditional backgrounds. Traditionally, when we look at church, when we look at leadership in church and the pastoral ministry, we look at it in such a way that the pastor must do the work of ministry, and we are all just spectators. We're just part of what the pastor is doing. And what scripture is saying here, it's actually wrong if the minister does all the work, if the leader of the church does all the work. We should be doing the work, and we should be the ones gathering in the harvest. We're the ones that should sow the seeds and water those seeds. And what's interesting is, if a pastor or a leader of a church does all the work, all the ministry and all that, the limit for the church will probably be 100 people, maybe 150 people. Because relationship, one person can only have relationship with 50 people maybe. And that won't even be good relationships. And God is primarily a relational God. So if we're not confident in the fact that God wants to use us, then the harvest and the multiplication cannot happen. The church can only multiply to the effect that we are confident that God wants to use us to be ministers of the word. And God just wants us to be equipped. What's also important here is that we must make ourselves available to be equipped. We must make ourselves available to minister. If you hear that somebody is in the hospital, traditionally people would call the pastor and say, go visit the person in the hospital. But what we should be saying is, if someone is in the hospital, I'm going to go visit him. I'm going to pray for him. And I'm going to do the work of ministry. And I'm going to be confident that God works through me, because I'm a minister of the word of God. Okay. Everybody's still happy. Awesome. And get to the interesting stuff just now. Okay. Isaiah 49 verse 1 to 3. This scripture is quite relevant to me, because a lot of us, firstly, I spoke now about qualification, but a lot of us come from places of kind of insignificance. Because God says he uses the poor things of this world, the weak things of this world, those things in the world that nobody else looks or esteems. And I've drawn a lot of strength out of this scripture, and I felt this is for all of you who feel that I cannot be effective for God. Isaiah 49 verse 1 to 3. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hit me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hit me away. And he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And if you look at the Old Testament symbolism for Israel, it speaks of the church of Jesus Christ. What God is saying is here is, like, every one of us, when we come to him, he's already put inside of us all that's required for us to be ministers unto him, to be effective for his kingdom, to be effective, to be used by him. And he's actually encouraging us. He says, through you, I will be glorified. God isn't saying, I will glorify myself. He will use you as a vehicle to glorify him. And that's a place of confidence where we should actually, when we go out there, we should say, God will use me today, because that's his promise towards me. He's put inside of me the capacity and the Holy Spirit to be used. And even if we haven't been used before, trust God. Start to take a step of faith and confidence. Because God really uses anybody that he draws and saves. Okay. So now I want to just move on to some keys to the encounters. What kind of encounters does God wants to use us in people's lives? God encounters. What does God want us to be faithful in and disciplined in, so that people can come to the knowledge of Christ? What I'm speaking about tonight is all very basic things, basic stuff, but it's really important for us to remind ourselves of this, because sometimes we can run away and do all the intellectual and high spiritual things, but if we keep to the basics, then God can really use us. Okay, Acts 2:42-47, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all were believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So this speaks about the vehicle that God uses to display himself to the world. And that's the community. I don't know who of you are here that got saved without somebody else being implicit in there, without the relationship being part of that. Who of you got saved by just reading the Bible? Nobody being involved. Okay. It's possible. People can get saved like that. But most possibly somebody has been praying for you, even if you just read the Bible. Most likely somebody has been implicit in your salvation. And what's so cool about this is that God wants to use relationship. And it speaks here about the church multiplying in one day in a New Testament church. 3,000 people were added. And I believe the key to that was just relationship. People were just living together, sharing their lives, and just drawing other people into relationships and reaching out. And if you look at the second line I just underlined, they attended the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So then our modern day church setup, that would be coming to church and just having small group, breaking bread together in the house. Just by being diligent, pursuing a relationship together, people were drawn into that. People looked at that and they said, something is happening here that's not normal. That's not worldly. And that facilitated an encounter with God where people could really be drawn in. God was upon them. It says there, and awe came upon every soul. So people had encounters. Something supernaturally was present just by being faithful and coming together in relationships, coming together in small group, coming to church. By you coming to church every week and just facilitating a relationship here, that's something powerful. God is in that. There's a presence of God in that. And going to small group, but diligently being faithful in your small group, praying for your small group, going to small group and serving the needs of one another. That speaks of positioning yourself so that God could use you to facilitate the relationship and people can come to know God. Okay. So relationships are key to encounters. Psalm 84 verse 10, for a day in your court is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And David is just speaking here about forsaking everything in this world for just being in his presence. And I don't know about you, but when I come to church on Sunday, one of the greatest parts the greatest part for me is God's presence that's here. God really dwells in the community of the saints. God is really here every time. And every time we bring somebody to church, we're just bringing them into God's presence. That's just nobody can deny that. My salvation story is really, really about that. A person took interest in me, that community side. He just became my friend and he took me to church. The first time I got there, I said, this is not the way I've experienced church before. I've never experienced relationship or a presence of God. There's something here that's not normal to my understanding. And after the third time, I couldn't deny it anymore. I had to say to God, I want to give my life to you. Because this is what church is about. That is what your kingdom is about. For you to be present in my life, then that's what I want to have. So that's what we facilitate. When we come come to church, or when we come into community, two or three together, when we come to small group, when we come to church activities or to just social activities together, we're creating a presence, and we should be inviting people into that. And that's where our confidence should also be, just by the fact that we are two or three together, and we're inviting somebody from outside in there. Just the presence of God is already ministering to that person. It's already saying to that person, God is real. He wants to have a relationship. Ephesians 3 verse 8 to 10. To me, though I am the least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So here it speaks of God's plan A. God's plan for the world, and even not even the world, even for creation itself, to know God's rule and to know His supremacy, is really through His church. Even heavenly beings, it speaks here, they relate to God through the way He relates to His church. They're trying to find out more about God through the way He relates to us. So that also speaks of confidence. If God is going to use anything, He's going to use us. And He's going to use us to reveal His testimonies on this earth, to draw people in. And we should be confident in that. We should be confident. The church is His instrument. Okay. And next heading I have is Encounter Through Prayer. 1 Kings 18 verse 36 to 39. And at a time, this speaks of a time in Israel's history where they went after other gods. They set up for themselves Baal altars, and they had many Baal prophets. And most of the nation just went off the hook completely. And it speaks of one person that was just willing to be used by God, to just stand in a gap and to pray for God to come and manifest Himself. So here we're talking about like a real situation where intervention of a great scale was needed. And 1 Kings 18 verse 36 to 39. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I'm your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you've turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and then licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. See, it's one moment, the whole nation is still, because just before that, they poured out offerings to Baal, and they tried to call down fire, and it fell. So the whole nation needed one encounter to turn back. And God used one person to pray and one encounter for the whole nation to turn. And that's really a place of a supernatural move by God, but it was done through God praying. So the challenge to us is, in our lives, what are we trusting God for in prayer? When we seeking God, when we seeing situations, what are we asking God for? Are we asking God for big things? Are we asking God for our nation to turn back to Him? Are we asking God for our schools? Are we asking God for UCT to turn back to Him? And when we pray, do we pray that God would move? Do we really believe He can do it in a day? Scripture says God can save a nation in a day. Just got this cool prayer testimony from Smith Wigglesworth that I read this week. Maybe I'll just share that with you. It's also just a man that made himself available to God through prayer. And this is a family that called upon him. Their little girl was busy dying, and the doctors have given up, and she was really just on the last few hours of life. And the people just called upon him because he was the minister, and he operated in the supernatural. And this is just an account of how he persisted in trusting God for supernatural. So what happened is he went into the house, and the whole family was there present, and he just told the whole family to go to sleep because he wanted to pray for the girl. And the whole family didn't want to do that, and eventually he said he's going to go if they don't go to sleep. So they all went to sleep, and then he started praying. They all went to bed. This is the account. And I stayed, and that was surely a time as I knelt by the bed face to face with death and with the devil. But God can change the hardest situation and make you know that He is Almighty. Then the fight came. It seemed as though the heavens were brass. I prayed from 11 to 3:30 in the morning. I saw the glimmering light on the face of the sufferer and saw her pass away. The devil said, "Now you're done. You've come from Bradford and the girl has died on your hands." I said, "It can't be. God did not send me here for nothing. This is a time to change strength." I remembered the passage in the Word which said, "Men ought always to pray and not faint." Death had taken place, but I knew that my God was all powerful, and He had split the Red Sea. He that had split the Red Sea is just the same today. It was a time when I would not have no, and God said yes. I looked at the window, and at that moment the face of Jesus appeared. It seemed as though a million rays of light were coming from His face as He looked at the one who had just passed away. The color came back to her face. She rolled over and fell asleep. Then I had a glorious time. In the morning she woke early, put on a dressing gown and walked to the piano. She started to play and to sing a wonderful song. The mother and sister and the brother had all came down to listen. The Lord had undertaken. A miracle had been wrought. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. God can use each one of us in that way. Maybe we would start trusting Him. And it's not just the people being resurrected from death. It's just people being resurrected from sin coming to Him. Those are the biggest miracles. People turning from eternal destruction to salvation, to Christ. And God wants to use all of us to pray. He doesn't just want to use special people. The day you get saved, you can ask God. The biggest miracles that happened in my life happened when I was just saved. God really just answered my prayers without me persisting much in them. So I want to encourage you tonight. If you want to see changes in people's lives and in your area, ask God for his ways. And start to pray. Okay, encounter true obedience. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So here it speaks of an encounter that the early church had with the Holy Spirit. And it really speaks of obedience that the people had with God. But the interesting side of this upper room experience, there were only about 120 people present, according to the biblical encounter. And Jesus, before this encounter, He revealed Himself after the resurrection, after He was risen from the dead. He revealed Himself to 500 people, the biblical account said. So of those 500 people, only 120 people were present in the upper room. Only 120 people had an encounter with God. And here it speaks again of positioning ourselves, but here also of obedience. God said to them, "Go to Jerusalem and wait unto me." So 380 people potentially missed out on an encounter with God just because they saw the resurrected Christ. It's not like they just heard something from a pastor or from something like that. They saw Christ. And still they didn't obey. So they missed out on what God had for them. And that's the same for us in our lives. When was the last time that God said to us, we needed to do something? And that's where we need to go back to. Because that's where it starts. It starts with just what did Jesus say to us? A lot of times people would say to me, God hasn't spoken to me for a year or 2 years. And in my own life, I find it as well. When I want to hear God's voice, mostly I must go back to when last He spoke to me. So that, because He's seeking my obedience before He can speak to me, because I'm grieving Him if I don't listen. An example in my own life, which is quite similar. We went to Congo a few years ago, to Lubumbashi, and I said to God before that mission, "I will do anything you ask of me. Just ask me and I'll do it." And God killed me almost 10 times by the things I had to do. But one of the coolest experiences I had was the one evening the pastor came to us and says, you know, he's got contacts with the local TV station and they broadcast through the country. He spoke to Reno and said they can set up something for us to speak in the studio. So I just went along and just thought I was just going to stand outside. So as the TV host opened, it was a quite tight schedule and he just opened the door and he said, "Come in," and then they called me in. And then I was sitting there next to Reno and two other guys, and they started the interview started talking. And I really just moved my chair to the side. I tried to just sit there. I said, Lord, I'm paced. I don't have any strength anymore. I don't want to be asked. And then he asked Reyna, because Reyna was our main man. So he asked Reyna, and I thought it was just 15 minutes. So there's no chance I'm going to get the time slot. And he just finished asking Reyna the question, and then he asked me the same question. And I was sitting there. I said, Lord, what now? And then the Holy Spirit just came upon me, and I said a lot of stuff. I probably spoke for like 4 or 5 minutes. I can't remember what I said. But it was such an example for me of just being positioned for God to use me, and then the Holy Spirit will come and you will have an encounter with Him. And the next day we went to the one pastor's church, and a lot of people that came to the church that day was just because of that interview we had on TV. So people got saved just because of that. So it's the same for us. Are we positioning ourselves? Are we just available to God to do things? A lot of times we might see it as a hindrance, the things God asks of us. We must see it as such a demand on our freedom for God to use us. But what is true freedom really? Is it to be used by God, or is it to have our own way? And that's what we need to ask ourselves. Okay. And now the next slide, Exodus 14, verse 15 to 17. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea. Divide it, and the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen." And here it speaks again of one person that God uses just for the known world at that time to have an encounter with God. What Moses did then is God gave him strategy to just put his staff into the sea. The sea split open and it engulfed the whole Egyptian army, which was the strongest army at that time. But because of that one encounter that God had with earth, because of the 12 plagues and the Red Sea splitting, the whole known world at that time knew what God did for Israel. So the whole world knew that there was a living God in Israel. And it's the same for us sometimes. Our world will change when we obedient. It might not be to the same scale, but even the small things we do, we don't know what effect that has on the world around us, just by being available to us. Sometimes, like what was the case with Moses here, God did 12, the 12 plagues came through him, and there he stood at the sea, and he was in unbelief again. He said, "Lord, what now?" He should have said, "God, I know you've took us this far. What do I do next? What is the next step?" And he still didn't develop faith. And sometimes with us, the same thing. God is challenging us to a new thing, and then unbelief comes in. And God's grace only works through faith when we take Him at His word, when we believe that He can do something. And for us, it means when God asks us to get baptized, what do we do? Do we contemplate about it? Do we struggle? Do we find a reason not to do that? When God asks us to respond to Him, what do we do? And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to just trust Him and to be obedient, to be implicit in our obedience. Okay. My next encounter strategy. Encounter through the word. Romans 1 verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek." We all know this scripture quite well, but it's just important. If we don't preach Christ, because Christ is the way to the Father, if we don't preach Christ to people, they can have all the encounters in the world. They can know all the goosebumps of coming to church, but we need to preach the word. We need to tell them why they are experiencing God's favor. And when God speaks to them, we need to reveal to them the gospel. Romans 10 verse 14 to 15. "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." I was struck this weekend. A friend of Janet's came to visit from Nigeria. It's a long story, but basically the portion I want to tell you is when they lived in New Zealand, Janet was also there. this girl, she came to church. Her name is Kim. She came to church one day in a very bad state, and really not well off. And people realized there was something wrong. And she got saved in the church experience. And the word just convicted her, and she got saved. And then she started to pursue God's word and just what it meant for her. And the people in the church found out that she's actually going through a divorce case. And how it works in New Zealand is when you want to get divorced, they've got a 3-year period that you have to kind of, it takes 3 years to get divorced there. It's not like in South Africa where you can get divorced immediately. It's just for people to consider if they really want to get divorced. So she was actually going through a divorce at that time when she came to church. So she started to chat with her friends. She started to read the word. God told her to read the word. And she discovered in the word that God's covenant is something that he holds esteems quite highly. And that if you make covenant with a person, that God doesn't really approve of divorce. So she took God by his word, and she asked God, so what do I do? And God showed her in a word to honor her husband, to pray for her husband. And God showed her to pray for her husband that believing men would come across his way. An amazing part of her testimony was, it was a very short while actually, her husband was in Australia at that time, or her husband she was going to divorce, and he was also completely unsaved. And one day he was just running to a park, and a soccer ball hit him from the side. And there was a bunch of, and he kicked the ball back, but he's quite a good soccer player. And there was a bunch of guys playing soccer. And they saw him kick the ball, and they said to him, "Yoch, well, you're a good soccer player, come and play with us." He started playing with the boys. Then one day they invited him home, and they just started sharing on life, and they had like a discussion, what does every person do? And I think it was 8 guys, and all the 8 guys were all saved. And they just ministered to him, and she just prayed that God would send the believers across his path. And that's the power of God's word, when we start to respond to it. And then they got saved, they came back together, the guy got saved, they both got saved. And they came back together, and they got 2 children now, and they're really passionate for the Lord. How's that for God's faithfulness? Yeah. So God wants to do the same in our lives, the people we pray for, and when we respond to the word. It's interesting how God's word will sometimes challenge us to do things outside of the box. In my own life, I've had these relationships in my past that, according to my understanding of the word, it was almost impossible for me to engage in them. And it was really an area of my life where I felt like I cannot go back to engage with those people because of certain sins I saw in the Bible that they were involved in. And then about 2 months ago, God just spoke to me through scripture. And he just showed me something just about his love that this goes past that understanding I had of the word. And then God, actually 2 people prayed for me, and they gave me that same word. And since then, I've actually approach those relationships differently. And I've already, some of you know, I met the one person about 2 weeks ago, and I just spent time with him, and God just gave me such grace to just minister into his life. This is the first time, and just because God showed me a different area of his word that I didn't understand before. So I just want to encourage you, if there's areas in your life, in your family, or in your business, in your workplace, ask God for new word, ask him for strategy. To approach that place. Sometimes that which we understand God's will to be is God wants to give us a new truth. He wants to show us a new thing so that we can have fruit wherever we are. And the last encounter I have is encounter through deliverance and healing. I'm not going to go too deeply into that. I'm just going to share a little bit. But this story really relates to Legion. He was a man that lived in the tombs above a certain town. I'm not sure what the town's name was now, but he was living there, and what he did is when the people tried to apprehend him, he just broke the chains. He was just supernaturally strong, completely oppressed by demonic forces. And Mark 5:9 said, and Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So he was oppressed by manifold demons. A lot of demons oppressed him. And he wasn't really under his own, he wasn't self-controlled. He was really under the authority of those demons in his life. What happened is Jesus just when they came to Jesus, Jesus just spoke to those demons and he just drove them out. He just told them all to go. And then Mark 5 verse 15 says, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. So that whole town came to know of God just because that man that didn't change was completely changed because of just God just delivering him. A lot of times what needs to happen in people in the world and lives and people that we come across, they need to have an encounter by God by being delivered. They need to be delivered from demonic oppression. They need to be set free from sometimes from sickness and from things, those things before they can even hear the gospel. So God is calling us. The Bible speaks of Jesus going around the countryside, and everywhere he went, he delivered people from demons and he healed the sick. So it wasn't like just one or two people being demonically oppressed. It was quite a trend of those times. And it spoke of him going to the temples. So it wasn't also just the world out there. It was even in the church that people were oppressed demonically. A lot of times in our lives, we need to be delivered. And people coming in, they need to be delivered. But the coolest part of Legion is Mark 5 verse 19. He asked Jesus if he could go with him. And Jesus said to him, he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. When people get delivered, God sets them up to be a testimony. That deliverance is an encounter for many others. And it's interesting that wasn't a Jewish settlement. It was was just a Gentile settlement. So there was nobody that had an understanding of God in that place. And God sets this man free, which is by everybody, according to everybody, an outcast and completely useless and dysfunctional. And God says, now you become my evangelist. Now you became the person that I'm going to use for this place to come to know me. And that's what we must be attend for. When you see those people that are unusable, a lot of times it's just because the devil is oppressing them. A lot of times it's because they are dysfunctional. They cannot relate to the world. And God actually wants to use those people for his glory, those foolish things of the world, to bring people into the knowledge of God. Can I get a band to come up, please? So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to do things a bit differently. We've got this is a structure where we try and facilitate all these encounters. We're trusting God that through prayer, through deliverance, through obedience to the word, through the word being preached, to deliverance and healing, just for people to have an encounter with God. And that's why we kind of felt God said to us that we need to do those things. So I'm going to give our encounter champions a chance just now. Just after a while, after we just give everybody that hasn't got a relationship with God a chance to just have a relationship with God. I'm going to ask the encounter champs to come after that. So I don't want you guys to go. To just share with us what the encounters are about. Because in these encounters, we're really trusting God for people to have an experience of God. People to really connect with God. But before I do that, I just want to just ask you to all just bow your heads and just close your eyes. And tonight I just spoke about God's desire to meet with people, to just have an encounter with his love, to have an encounter with each individual person on this earth. And what really is the problem is that sin entered in through the enemy coming and the devil coming in. Just wanting us to be separated from God. Certain things happened. And all of our lives are in a measure has got a expression of that, those things that have happened. When you look at your life, you see a lot of areas in your life that's desolate. A lot of areas in your life where you cannot control stuff. And a lot of times it's just because of your separation from God, because things have gone wrong. And what God is saying tonight is, I will go the extra mile. I will do anything for you to have an encounter with me. I will do anything for you to know that I love you. And I want to reestablish that relationship, that communication line. I want to reestablish with you tonight. And the way that you do that is by just saying yes to God, just saying yes to the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls upon you to say, Jesus, I want to believe in you. I want to believe that you've made a way through the cross so that I can have a relationship with you, so that my relationship, my communication with you can be reestablished, so that I can hear your voice again, and so that the communication that you predestined for us to have can be reestablished. Because God really wants us to know Him. The Word says that His love, nothing can separate us from His love, and He wants that love to be restored. He wants you to know that love. And if that's you tonight, before we just continue with our program, I want to give you the opportunity just to respond to Jesus Christ. And if that's you tonight and you want to have a relationship with God, just by a sign of sign towards God, just lift your hand and just say to Him, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you again. I want to know your presence. I want to know your voice, Lord. If the Holy Spirit is nudging you, if God is nudging your heart and you're saying tonight that you're finished while living on your own, you're finished being lonely, you're finished being struggling in this world, you're finished trying and nothing happening, and God is saying, come to me, you are tired, come to me, you're overwhelmed. God is just saying, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me, you are burdened, and I want to give you rest. If it's you tonight, this is a sign to God. Just lift your hand. Just tell Him that you want that relationship restored with Him. See, Jesus died on the cross publicly, and that's why we ask you to do this publicly. It's not to shame you. It's not to make it difficult for you. It's really just so that the decision you make is associates with Christ. It just makes it real to you. If you just make a decision in your heart tonight and you don't make it public, then possibility is tomorrow when things get difficult that you walk away. So I just feel some of us tonight, you want to make the decision, but you're just afraid of shame. I just want to encourage you that Jesus died on the cross and He was ashamed for us so that we can come to Him. Okay. Can I ask the Encounter champs to just come forward? So what we have in church is we've got an encounter series. It's Encounter 1 to 5. Tonight we'll just speak about the first four. And what this really gives us, it gives us a platform for people to have an encounter with God. It gives us a platform for people to connect with God. So we invite people to these encounters. And what's also important about these encounters is that God is a covenantal God, like I said in the beginning. It's a God who wants to relate with us. He wants to speak to us. So when we do these encounters, we really create a platform for God to covenant with us, for God to come and speak to us on a regular basis. So we really encourage everybody in church to do these encounters, because we really consecrate it unto God, and we really find that God really honors what we do in encounters. People really get delivered, people really get set free and established in the relationship of God. So what I want you tonight is, as the champions share, those of you who are not participants yet, who haven't done the encounters yet, I want you to just listen to that, and I want you to take a step of obedience, just to do those encounters as they come up. We've got an encounter cycle. Every 3 months we do all the encounters. So you'll have an opportunity every 3 months to do one of the encounters. And we encourage you to do all of them. If you have done those encounters, what happens is, if you've done an encounter, the next time around you can facilitate that. And what I want you to ask the Lord tonight is, as these people are sharing, which encounter should I be involved in? Where am I going to trust the Lord to meet people where they are at? So the encounter champs are just, these are the people that are championing. They're going to introduce themselves and what their encounter is. They're really legends. They're doing amazing work. That is really an example of the church doing ministry. They've all taken ownership in an amazing way. So just listen to their hearts. And if you find your heart connecting with them, just sign up with that encounter to become a facilitator. Because we're really trusting God to have mean teams for 2014. We're really trusting God that many people will come through the encounters and to really be set free, to be healed, to be restored, and just to so that they can live the life God has called them to. Okay, Kathleen.
Hi, I'm Kathleen, and myself and Wesley are with Encounter One. I don't know how many of you have ever yourself had this situation, or a friend of you has had this situation where you're wanting to share about Jesus or the Holy Spirit with someone, and then you're kind of not getting anywhere, and then you say, and then I just started sharing about my life, and the lights went on, and the person's heart changed. I don't know if you have ever had that or heard someone saying that. It tends to happen a lot, and that's really what we do at Encounter One is, all of us that share that we have a story, and we really just share the story of what Jesus has done in our lives, what it has meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how that has changed our lives, how baptism has changed our lives. But what's really awesome with that is combining it with the Word and what the Word says. And I think that's so incredible, because then you're really laying that foundation in people's lives where they see, oh, this person's life's changed. All these incredible things have happened, but it's also what it says in the Word. So the Word is actually alive and living. So it's that encounter with the Word and that encounter with what God has done, all at the same time. So really, if you're someone who you burn inside to share about that treasure that you've received, you just so long to like share your testimony with people. That's like what you want to do all day. Encounter One is really that place which creates that space for you to come and tell your story. And we've all got stories, and we need to get those stories out to the people on the other side of that bridge thing, of that divide, so that they can have that encounter. And if you're also someone who you get very frustrated because you see people in the starting blocks, but they just not growing to that next step, and you know that if they're just filled with the Holy Spirit, they understood relationship with the Holy Spirit, or if they, you know, they're still stuck in that place, if they just could go through, be baptized, you just know that they're going to begin to grow. If that frustrates you, then Encounter One is also a place where obviously your heart is, because that is where we really share these truths with people so that they can get out of those starting blocks and take that next step. And in terms of being qualified, if you've got a story, you're qualified. All right. And it's amazing how God works with us as a team. I mean, it's so diverse. There are people in the team who have been saved since they were like 4 years old. And there are people in the team who have been hectic, been through hectic situations where they've been a bit very naughty. And got saved later. But every person's story has got a precious treasure that God wants. So don't think, oh, my story is not valid, or my story doesn't have something to give. And you also really, through facilitating, you really grow in through the partnering with the Holy Spirit to hear God's heart for the people. Because it's not every time just the same story. It's amazing how God will come and reveal his heart for the specific people there. And he'll, in each person's story, he'll highlight something different every encounter, and he'll link all the stories together, and you'll see as the people are sharing how he's touching that person, he's touching that person, he's touching that person with something different to what they shared the last time. And it's incredible. You really grow in realizing, whoa, this is actually how much God has done in my life. And the Holy Spirit empowers you. I sometimes sit with the people before the time, and then they practice and they share their thing, and they struggle. They're like, how do I say this? How do I say that? But that evening when they stand up in encounter, the Holy Spirit comes and they just talk, and it's amazing how you see lives being touched, people starting to get teary, and it's just phenomenal, and you just know you're getting those people out of the starting blocks to really run the race of life. So if that's your heart, something that burns inside of you, then we'd love to have you facilitate at Encounter One.
Thanks. My name is Loki. I'm sharing, and this is Reno. We are actually sharing on account two. Now, for most of you that have been for us for a while, you actually know Encounter 2 as community. And it's very exciting that church has put such a lot of effort into. We've actually revamped the whole community. It's called Encounter 2 now, oddly enough. But it's actually, it's the home encounter. And for those of you that know me, you would know that my parents lived in Tanzania most of my life, and I was in boarding school since a very young age, and that took its toll on my life. You know, I didn't really have a reference for family, but the precious thing is being in boarding school and being a likable guy. I was a This is church confidence, guys. No, I was actually invited to a lot of homes. And from a very young age, I actually realized how important a home is. And I remember, and that was just the natural homes, when I saw families working the way they should and the way they must work, you know. And I had such a point of comparison for my life that really defined a lot of who I am today. And I remember when I got to Stellenbosch, because of not having your own family reference, I struggled to connect with church and church as a family. And I remember I went to what was Encounter One, now what it's called nowadays, and there was a guy there, and I told him, "Listen, no, God's everywhere. You know, I'm a loner. I'm with Jesus. Don't worry about me." And the guy looked at me straight and he said, "Brother, you are deceived." And I thought, like, you don't know me. How can you say stuff like this? But what I didn't realize at that point is this was a brother loving a brother. And that's what Encounter 2 is about. It's about spiritual community. It's about relationship, firstly with God. And what we're trusting for Encounter 2 is we're trusting for people to come and to come into a home, but a spiritual home, and firstly connect with God as a father of a house, and get to know God for who He is, and connect with His Father's heart. That's the encounter that we're trusting for. And also, for us to not be like me, but to relate with a spiritual family, you know, to really feel part of what God's doing. And I just want to read a little portion out of the new revamped Encounter booklet. And it's important for us to know that it's not about the information, but it's really about the encounter with God. That's what we're trusting for God to come and just to touch people with who He is and what His purposes are for all of these encounters. But it reads as follows. The home encounter is a time to look into what your thoughts, feelings, and experiences of spiritual community. And you know, if maybe you can relate to something that I said, and if it's so, and maybe you feel like, no, I want to go that lonesome road, I want to invite you, and I want to come, and I don't want to teach you stuff, and we don't want to teach you stuff. We want to hear your heart. We really care about the experiences that you've had, and we're really there to listen, you know, and to invite you in. Maybe you'll have a moment like I had. And then for the facilitators as well, we really need a lot of people. The Lord has made big promises to this church about people, and we really need a lot of facilitators. So if you like crowds and you like making people feel welcome and you love meeting new people and you've got a heart for having people come into a home and feel loved and feel healed within a spiritual family, I really want to extend an invitation to say, please come help us. Reno and myself, we're very excited. The Lord has worked a lot in our hearts through this, and yeah, we're trusting for big things for our family.
So also just want to take the opportunity. I think we pulled some strings so that both myself and Loki can share something here. But I think just to also say on Loki's testimony, mine is very similar. A lot of you guys know me well these days, but when I was much younger, I had a few incidents that happened during my growing up youth that very much disturbed my heart on what God actually put in it. And what happened is that because of a few things and just situations with group meetings and group people, I was joked about and laughed at and so forth. I always had a very difficult situation fitting into bigger group settings and team work. And it was just a fear that was established in my heart, and very much so that it kept me away from people, and I didn't allow people in. It all became about me, myself, and I. And as I got saved, really just God just started to work in my heart, working out these weeds that interrupted my character and what He established in me. And today I can stand here and just really say it's such a privilege for me to see what God has done in my life, to be able to head up such an amazing encounter with Loki, an encounter that stands for family and community, and the love that God has for us, and being part of His bride. To me is really the fruit of just what God has been doing in my life. And I was just so reminded of a scripture this morning in Genesis. God says, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And I was just struck that God doesn't say in "Let me make man in my image." I just feel God saying that He's a God of community, and He is community. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's on that place, my testimony, that I just really want to encourage, like Loki said as well, everyone here to not allow the fear of your heart to disrupt what God has given you and the character that He's placed into you, and to come steal the destiny that God has set out for you. So we like to see the whole church after service. No, I'm just joking, but thank you very much. We're over to the next one.
How's it, guys? I'm basically, for Rondebosch, I'm the one that's in charge of what they call Encounter 3. I did it back in the days when it was still Foundation 3, so quite a few years ago. But I actually like the second name that it actually had. It used to be Legacy. That's what it's about. It's the legacy that God wants to impart into your life. Now, just to give you a quick testimony of what it meant for me when I had to do it. Quite a few years ago, I was in a really bad spot. I was most backslidden Christian you can probably think of. And Marnus's sermon is very relevant to my life, for instance. Like, it was through a relationship with somebody really special that I got led back to the Lord one Monday morning, 1 o'clock, in my car in front of my brother's house. And it was my brother that was praying for me constantly. But my life was given to the Lord, but that doesn't mean that everything was sorted out. A few weeks later, it was I had a God encounter by being obedient, by going to church, by placing myself where God can start speaking into my life, where He healed me of depression. But there was still something else still missing in my life. I started attending Shofar, knew this is where my family was, because I was made felt like part of a family, like Loki and Reno were talking. But it was when I actually went to attended then Foundation 3, now Encounter 3, that God... that God really imparted into my life as to how He sees me. And the baggage that I've been carrying with me that has been pulling me down, that I was able to let go of. And it was just so amazing how God used that as a tool to empower me, to tell me that you're my son. I see you more than what you see yourself. I put a cloak around your neck, your shoulders. I put a ring on your finger. And that's how God wants to see us. And sometimes we're just so used to that which is known to us that we're almost scared of it. But God wants so much more for us. And this is really a cool thing that, or shall we not say, what's the right word? Facility. This is a cool facility that God uses to impart that into our lives. And I'm a standing testimony of what he's done in my life in that regard. But further than that, just being a facilitator even, every single time, he just speaks into your life then. I mean, Leon can testify, him and I have partnered up a few times together, and it's every time, it's spot on, spot on, spot on. That God speaks into us as facilitators even still. There's so much that God wants to empower us, basically. And this is really a cool tool for that.
Hi, guys. My name is Lisa, and I'm going to be speaking about Encounter 4. The first time I did Encounter 4, F4, as it was originally, was 6 years ago. And when I joined the church, I knew of all these foundations, and I just wanted to do them, tick them off. So I did 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I didn't really know what I was in for, but it really changed my life. I was really set free in a big way of a lot of things. Most of us has got so many chains holding us back, but you don't even realize it until it's gone. And I was so overwhelmed by what God has set me free of that I decided I'm going to facilitate all the efforts that I could after that. So I just wanted, by experiencing the freedom, I just wanted so many other people just to experience it also. So for me, that's really been a passion. For those of you who hasn't done it, I really want to encourage you to really make sure you get there, be set free. After doing Encounter 4, I really, for the first time, started to understand what God meant when He said He wants for us life in abundance, because that's really what it is. And yeah, if you want to facilitate it, you don't have to have any special gift or secret power or anything. You can just come. But for me, it's been almost like a training ground where God has used me. You're just getting words and discerning things. It's been a growing thing for me. So if you're strong in that, it can really help you. But if you don't even know what giftings you have, still come. God can use you. And I think it's such an important tool. All of the foundations are, or all of the encounters are important. Encounter 4 specifically, God has said he came to set us free. So that is a space where you can come and get rid of all those chains that all of us have. Some of us cannot receive healing because there's things that's holding us back. Not only physical healing, but emotional healing. Some of us are carrying emotional burdens that you actually have so much hurt in your heart that you're experiencing, and you're not realizing it's not really you. Maybe it's something that God wants to deliver you of. You just think it's normal. You just experience hurt all the time. And yes, you can really get set free of a lot of things. And I just want to encourage all of you, if you haven't done any of the encounters, please make an effort to do it. We've got all the tools in the church. Don't just come every Sunday, but look and see what are the tools that I can use, or how can I become more like Jesus, because these things really do help. And yeah, if you want to come and serve, please do so. And you can come and give your names by each of us if you still want to do the encounters, or if you just want to facilitate. We've got we'll write your names down and we'll let you know when the date's on.
Isn't it wonderful that God wants to come and do amazing things amongst us, and He wants to use us to facilitate those encounters? And if you feel, not just feel, I want to encourage you, each one of us actually, to just sign up for one of the encounters to facilitate it. I want to encourage you to just take a step of faith to just do that. Just as a response for tonight, I just felt that there's some of us who feel that God cannot use us. This is a shame thing upon you. So everybody can just close their eyes. If that's you tonight, I just want to pray for us. I just want to pray that God will come and set us free and just give us courage. So if that's you tonight, if you feel that God cannot use you to have an encounter with somebody else, so people can come to know Jesus, if that's you, just as a sign to God, just respond to Him, and I'll just pray for us. Father, we just come tonight, Lord, as a church, Lord, and like Smith Wigglesworth said, after the lady was raised, Father, it's a glorious time, Father. And Father, that's what we kind of live for, Lord, is to just know, Father, your hand, Lord. To just see your hand move, Father. There's nothing greater in this earth, Father, than to just experience your hand in our midst, Father. To experience you doing great and wonderful things. Now, and that's your promise to us. That's our inheritance, Father. I said we will do even greater things than Jesus did, Father. And tonight we come and embrace that as a church, Lord. Tonight we come and say, Lord, come and use our church, Father, as your instrument in the southern suburbs and in Cape Town, Father. Let your name be glorified. And I pray that you would establish inside of each of us, Father, just the knowledge, Father, of your power, Lord. The knowledge of your love towards those outside, Father, who don't know you, Lord. And that you would come and give us an understanding and a courage, Father. And you'd remove that shame, Father, that the enemy wants to use, Lord. And tonight we just declare there's no shame in the cross. There's no shame in Jesus Christ. There's no shame in the resurrection power of the cross. Tonight we, this is a church, we just lay hold. We take hold of that which you've got for us. And we declare, Father, that Cape Town will not be the same again. Father, we come and invite you, Lord, to come and send people into our encounter series, Father. We pray that even in our workplaces and in our families and in our social groups, Father, and where we do sport and things, Father, we pray, Father, that encounters will spontaneously happen there, Father. The Holy Spirit will come, Father, amongst us, Father. You would use every vehicle, Father, every platform where we are part of, Father. We want to invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and use those things so that your name can be glorified, Lord. And we want to say tonight, Lord, all the glory and all the honor is due to you, Lord Jesus. Father, this is not about us. It's not about what we can attain, Father, but it's about your kingdom coming. And we say, Lord, that your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen.